This is a recording of the Woods Hole Women's Club meeting on April 9th, 2024. And we're hearing from Jenny and Patrice about Farm Falmouth.
I've been waiting for this all year, and what a beautiful day to have. It's so lucky. We're just spring.
Turn it off?
Yeah, you're turning it up.
Oh, I'm talking louder. Oh, yeah, you guys are having trouble over here. Okay, so we have two speakers today. Originally, we were meant to have three, but Lake Costa got stuck in Vermont after watching the eclipse. So Patricia Getz, he has come, and Jenny Christian. Patricia's going to speak first for a little bit, and then Jenny's going to share some more information with us. Patricia was a science writer for Discover magazine. She also wrote a few food articles for that magazine where science and food overlap. And then she wrote some food articles for Gastronomica, a beautiful cooking magazine which no longer exists. Her husband was at Rockefeller in New York City, but he followed the squid every year to come to Woods Hole. And so she came. He was an avid fisherman, and as he became less involved in teaching at Rockefeller, he stayed here longer. And so they both lived in New York City and in Woods Hole. And he was she's been very active with Farming Falmouth and worked with Jen Christian and Ellie Costa a lot. She'll tell you about that. And our other speaker is Jenny Christian, sitting here. And she has quite an amazing past. She drove heavy army trucks in Iraq for a while, and she knows how to fix big machinery and drive it and use it. And she worked studying permaculture and studied in Western Mass. She did regenerative design. She came out here with Matt, is that what it's called?
Parida.
Regenerative design. Yeah, and because she came out with Matt Churchill, and they set up Praia Dog Farm, which is now going as a CSA. And then she worked with the Agricultural Commission and gave advice to the 300 Committee for buying Tony Andrews' farm and making it into a beautiful farm for Falmouth, where people have bought. And my husband and I went out in the spring last year, and we planted apple trees and cherries, I think, and maybe peach. We were working on the orchard, and it was really fun. It's a beautiful place, and to work out there with other avid farmers is really fun. So now I'll give you Patricia Getz.
Hello, I'm Patricia Gadsby, and thank you very much, Ellie, for inviting Farming Falmouth today. You are an organization with a long, long history, and we are a very new nonprofit. We're 5 years old, essentially. Some of you may know me from the farmers market. I was one of the original founders there, and then the opportunity came up to work with a working group to save Tony Andrews' farm. So that really goes to our origins. I'm going to read a little script here because I want to be fast and let Jenny take over because she is going to give you the meat and potatoes of Farming Falmouth. But I thought it might be good to give you a little bit of context. So, Farming Falmouth was really.
I heard him barking. I'll just take him. I don't want him to bother you. He'll just have to snore.
So that it would remain.
He's very. Yeah, we're pretty connected. Thank you for trying. Hopefully, he won't snore
tonight. There's a working group, the 300 Committee, obviously. Some of the historical groups, the Agricultural Commission, Jenny and Stan Ingram, notably, and farm supporters like myself and Susan Shepherd, who some of you may know. And so in June 2017, as part of that work, Jenny organized a charrette, a community brainstorming session, to learn basically what the public wanted to see on a town-owned farm. And quite amazingly, on a perfect weekend each day, we had a packed audience at Gus County Center. And what they told us was they wanted to see greater variety of fresh produce, especially fruit, preferably organic, available for as much of the year as possible. They wanted educational workshops for backyard growers and homesteaders, more space for community gardens, and more opportunities for young farmers. And it became clear to some of us in the working group that what people were actually asking for was a more local, healthy, secure source of food, and that preserving the Andrews farm was not an end point. It was the start. It was the start of revitalizing our local food system. And the only way to do that in a town like Falmouth would be 1 acre at a time. One backyard, one community garden, one small lot at a time. And to create a sort of patchwork of growing spaces. So in the year 2018 to 2019, we formed a nonprofit, Farming Falmouth, with a mission to build a better food future for Falmouth by growing together, one of our catchphrases. And now looking back 5 years later, Farming Falmouth and its volunteers, wow, we've come a long way. In those 5 years, the country has changed too, and I think in interesting ways, because it shows how what we're doing is actually aligning with current thinking in agriculture and in our society in general. So COVID exposed weaknesses in the current food system and its very long supply chain. I mean, much of our food is imported from South America, and other countries, or even just across country from California. So no more attention is being paid to growing food close to home, close to urban centers. Much more attention is being given to small-scale urban and suburban farming. And suburban farming, frankly, that's where Falmouth is in the 21st century. Do we have...
We're working on it.
Okay, we have a first slide, which was working just a minute ago, showing the tremendous farmland loss that we've had here in Falmouth since the 1950s. So the U.S. Farm Census, which was published this last year, also confirmed continued farm loss, and that's a nationwide problem. An aging farmer population, again, a nationwide problem. Most farmers are at retirement age pretty much now, and the need for a new generation of farmers, because as the American Farmland Trust says, no farms, no food, no farmers, no food. And with that came the realization that here in Falmouth, young farmers face, well, actually nationally, but especially here, face huge obstacles to accessing land, especially in an area like ours where agricultural land is increasingly lost to developers, subdivisions, and increasingly expensive. And that's why Farming Falmouth joined the Compact of Cape Cod Conservation Trust as a step towards buying land and making it available to young farmers who could not otherwise afford it. They can barely afford to live here because of our housing crisis, let alone buy land to farm. So this is something that the American Farmland Trust is pushing in this direction. And land access for a new generation of farmers is increasingly on the radar of state and federal policymakers. So you'll be hearing more about Farming Falmouth and basically what the state is also doing to try and address this problem. Unfortunately, right now we're at the policy-making stage, not at the funding stage, but things are moving in the right direction. So Farming Falmouth is also increasingly growing food for donation as food insecurity grows on the Cape. Jenny will talk a lot more about that. It's a big focus for us this year, growing for the service center and other food pantries. Food waste is one of the most solvable of problems contributing to greenhouse gases and climate, and that rescuing food by gleaning and through programs like Share Your Bounty has been part of Farming Falmouth's activities since the beginning. So this is might be a good time to talk about a movie that is going to be coming up on Earth Day. Farming Falmouth is joining FALCAN, Falmouth Climate Action Network, to screen the movie Common Ground on Earth Day. And that's a documentary about regenerative farming. Regenerative farming is a term you'll be hearing a lot more of also in coming years, and how it might help mitigate climate change. And actually, a nice thing is that this movie came about really because of the Woods Hole Women's Club. It was Jackie Appel, who's a member of Farming Falmouth, whose mother is frequently here. And she got in touch with me because she had heard through the Women's Club that I was part of Farming Falmouth. And so we got together for this movie screening. So Jackie, thank you very much for your hard work. I think you might not be here today, but if you hear the recording, thank you. And now I'd like to hand over to Jenny. Oh, by the way, this is the errant map that we wanted to show you, to show how dramatically Farming Falmouth has changed from a largely rural, ag-zoned town to basically a suburb where farming can only take place in little bits and pieces. But those little bits and pieces, as Jenny will show you, can grow a fantastic amount of food if they're managed correctly and pieced together. Okay, Jenny.
That screen over there is working better.
Yeah,
I'm going to do one quick thing here. Hopefully, we'll this up.
Okay, so Jenny is our farm manager. She's a fantastic community member. And I think you're going to really enjoy meeting her. And she's a farmer, a bona fide farmer, part of that new generation of farmers we really need if we want to continue feeding ourselves.
Thank you, Patricia. We're going to figure out the slideshow. I guess I'll say a little bit about myself, which definitely wasn't part of the slideshow. It's not my favorite part. But like Ellie said, a little clarification. I'm an Army veteran. I served at the Army National Guard for 6 years as a heavy diesel mechanic, hence my service dog. Sorry about the disruptions. He just doesn't like to be away from me, so he's always with me. But he snores. So if you hear somebody snoring, I don't think it's going to be one of you. So if I can do my job right and be an engaging speaker. So we are a little young organization with giant big dreams and a big problem ahead of us. I've been farming in Falmouth since 2014 at Pariah Dog Farm at first, and I served on the AgCom, like she said. And then since then, I've been doing my best to stay farming in this town, and it's been quite a challenge. Some of the challenges were outlined by Patricia: the cost of land, the cost of living, all of the things that make this place difficult for young people, also makes it difficult for people like me that want to be on the land, which is not a lucrative place to put your time, right? It fills my cup, it makes my heart swell to grow food for my community. It's all I want to do, really, but there's been a lot of steps to getting me back on the land as somebody who wants to be there. I definitely consider myself like a Renaissance woman. I can my own vegetables, I pickle, I ferment, I fix my clothes, the things that maybe you guys did as normalcy, but because our culture has shifted to you can pay for everything, you can buy everything, I can't afford that. So growing up in low-income situation, I learned to just figure out how to do stuff. And farming was a clear way for me to eat healthy food without paying the organic prices. And so that's kind of how I ended up going to school for farming and food systems. And I also have a certificate in renewable energy and energy efficiency. So holistically sustainable lifestyle is my shtick. This screen's working great, so just keep your eyes over there. I'll talk a little bit more about us. Patricia kind of hit on this point. You know, our purpose is about the food system as a whole. There's lots of aspects to the food system. as far as getting it to your plate from the farm. And sometimes there's a lot of things in between. We have a very global food system right now. You can get blueberries anytime. Doesn't mean they're healthy or sustainable, or there was not modern day slavery involved. There's all sorts of things you have to consider when you're thinking about sustainable food and farming. I'm gonna stick to more of the farming side and less about the economics and all the global stuff. You can look at this on our website. I'll stick to the pretty pictures. We have lots of projects. These are all on the website. The few that I'm not gonna hit, I wanna talk about right quick is Growing Together. We have a grant. So we like to video all of our workshops. So we've done mushroom workshops, we've done orchard workshops, we've done apple grafting workshops, apple pruning workshops, and we videotape them. We have a very talented man who is good at doing all the editing. He worked for CNN in Asia for a long time, and he works at FCTV. He was gonna be here today, but he puts videos together for us that go on our YouTube channel. So if you're ever wanting to have a learning experience with farming Falmouth and you can't make it, we usually take a video, we put it together pretty nice, and then it's up for people to see if they can't make it. Another one that I'm not gonna hit on is the Falmouth Food Needs Assessment, which we dipped our toes in it with the charrette, which Patricia talked about a little bit, which is really a community census of like what's happening with our food system in Falmouth, how do people feel about it, and like what the realities are, which will help guide our efforts as a nonprofit, right? Like, we don't want to flail around as a nonprofit. We want to make the biggest impact we can. So having the food needs assessment done gives us that data, which helps justify grants. It helps us talk about the fact that we're doing things that move the needle in the right direction. So that's something that's finishing up. It's not quite done yet. You'll hear lots about it when it's released. There's going to be beautiful documents and graphs and information that's probably a little depressing. And you hit a little bit on farmland preservation. You'll hear definitely more about that in the next couple months. Community gardens I'm going to talk about. There's a quote here from Joe Salatin. The first farmer's market supposedly appeared in the American landscape in 1946. That's not very long ago. Until then, where was all the food? I feel like your generation might know where that food was coming from, your kitchen, garden, the back door, the neighbors, the cow down the street, right? Things have changed dramatically. And so we aspire, because of the charrette, we were informed that there's no real community gardens in town. There was one at the service center, and there's a lot of villages in town. So we want to make sure by the end of all of this, we can have at least one community garden in every village in Falmouth. I think we're doing pretty good. So, too fast. So the first one, 2018, was the community garden that was at the service center. We assisted them to move their garden. And now it is the Marina F. Andrews Community Garden. It's on a sublease piece of land at Tony Andrews Farm, which is now town owned. It has 70 plots full with a wait list. It expanded once already. The Emerald House Community Garden 2021 has already expanded once, has a wait list, has about 35 plots. This year, Peterson Farm, Woods Hole Community Garden. So Hui has a community garden, but that's sort of kind of not open to everybody. So we have 30 plots up at Peterson Farm where the old house was, making use of town space that was otherwise just gonna sit there and grow weeds. So we're really happy about that. Getting more people with small lots, the ability, or shady lots. We have a lot of, small little lots. The growing isn't always so easy for people. So giving people the opportunity to have a growing space, to grow with their community, to learn from each other as neighbors. What are you growing? Oh, what's that's interesting? You want some of mine? I'll get to trade. It's a beautiful thing out there. Like it's just a really sweet thing to behold because that wasn't there before. And now people are talking about food and enjoying food in that way together where they might not have before. the Orchard Project. Ellie came out and helped one day. So all of these projects are built by volunteers. The community gardens all have their own committees. They all have their own board. They write their own bylaws. We are their fiscal agents. We kind of help shepherd, and then we step away because we are not here to micromanage them, but it's a need, and we have the capacity to help. And so the Orchard Project really came about from the Charette as well. There's no orchards in town except Matt Patrick has a little orchard. It's lovely. And so we planted trees with the intention of thinking like, well, how do you teach people to grow fruit crops without some examples and a classroom, basically? So we have one row is sort of a new style of tree. It's really tight space, semi-dwarf trees on trellises, which is like the new age farming way. And then on the other side is more homeowner style. So it's properly spaced semi-dwarf trees, and we put in apple, peach, pear, plum, apple, peach, pear, plum, just so that there's a variety of different fruits. So you can, like, as a homeowner, come and learn and in the season see what they look like, see how they were pruned, ask the questions. So as it matures, we'll be having more events out at the orchard. It's only 3 years old. It just started bearing fruit last year, and not a lot, and it wasn't pretty. So just we're working through it, and we're doing it as a holistic orchard. It's an organic, holistic orchard. Grocery store fruit is very heavily sprayed, I'm sorry to tell you. It's pretty, but it's been very, a lot of inputs went into making it that pretty. And it doesn't mean it's as healthy as the ugly apple next to it. So we're trying to bring awareness to some of these little issues that is hard as consumers to understand, because the honesty of the marketing world is not that great. If that makes sense. So, you know, I don't, yeah, just to be finished another day. So our gleaning program is wonderful. If you ever want to come out and volunteer, it's the best part of farming. It's just harvesting. We have a great partnership with Pariah Dog Farm, and a few other local farms have started to come up and approach us and say, hey, I have some stuff. I have a row of this. I have a row of that. If you're not familiar with what gleaning is, it's basically when a farmer is done with a row of produce, if it's just not worth them going back out to pick, there's still great strawberries, or there's still some good tomatoes, and there's still some, so it's worth it to go out and pick it for us, because we know there's a need at the service center. And so 10,000 pounds over the past 2 years have been donated to the Falmouth Service Center, and we're really proud of that. All volunteers, really, they have a really good time. The photos are very cute and hilarious. And we're really excited to welcome more volunteers for that. Look on our website, sign up, get our emails. This is the breakdown of sort of 10,000 pounds, 2 years. And it's like 3 hours a week. It's not much. Okay, so this is my baby, the service garden. We got a small grant last year, which allowed Farming Falmouth to pay me one day a week to manage a small farm plot at Andrews Farm, Tony Andrews Farm. It's behind our community garden there. It's a quarter of an acre. We started small last year because farming one day a week is weird. It's not really, even gardening, you garden more than one day a week. You know that, right? It's just, you got to pay attention. You got to look for pests, you know. So I was definitely out there more than one day a week, but the volunteers came and helped me one day a week. And this year, last year we donated only to the service center. This year we've expanded to, with help from a grant and donations from the community, we were able to, I can do 3 days a week now because I worked for free for a long time for this organization and now I'm finally getting paid. So 3 days a week I get to go and do what I love and I get to help teach. So 3 days a week people come, they join me, they learn, they ask questions, we pick, we harvest, we plant, and then we deliver mostly to the Falmouth Service Center. I'll leave this here. And so this year we're going to be donating to the Service Center, of course. hopefully fresh produce to the St. Barnabas Tuesday and Thursdays, free meals. They've seen a big increase, especially since, you know, COVID. And then in the summer, there's even more people that are in need of those services. So we're hoping to get fresher produce to them. And again, that's volunteers have been kind of donating and buying in food for those meals. So we're really happy to be able to do that. And then dear to my heart is the Cape and Islands Veterans Center, which has food pantries all over Cape. And so that's really exciting for me. A 16th of an acre, if you can imagine it, is very small. Most people have bigger lawns than that. So 1,400 pounds out of a 16th of an acre. So that's what we're talking. And that wasn't even the best I could do because that was one day a week, right? We didn't have a greenhouse. There's lots of things to regenerative no-till agriculture that's a little different than till and tillage farming. So if you can imagine tractors, right, and how big their tires are, and how much space they take up, and how much ground you waste with tires. Just where the tire, they can't grow anything where the tires are going to go, right? So if you think about, no shame on any tillage. I've definitely been on a tractor so many hours I don't even want to remember, but there's a place for it. But when we're talking about small plots, small scale, healthy organic produce, no-till regenerative agriculture is proving to produce more per acre. It requires more human labor. So this is the part where it's the money. It's always follow the money, right? Why did food become so cheap? Well, we made it chemical heavy. We made it tractor heavy. We removed the eyes per acre ratio that was. The whole family was involved, but now it's, you know, you got one guy on a tractor and he's got 40 acres and like six tractors, lots of fossil fuel. And turns out it's not actually very good for the soil. So the soil is what feeds us, you know, down to everything you eat, the cheese. Eventually, if you follow the food link back, the food web, it goes straight back to the grass that was grown in the soil. So there's always that connection, and I always want people to think about how your food is grown versus how those nutrients are gonna be available in your body. And so no-till agriculture is producing a much higher nutrient-dense food with much less inputs but much more human labor. So there's this balance of trying to figure out how to grow more food with less inputs, less fossil fuel, less tractors, more humans. And I think my generation especially is really starting to hit the back to the land movement all of a sudden. It's like becoming trendy. So I'm excited to ride that wave and pull people into the garden that didn't grow up with it like I did. Like my dad had a grapevine, that's about it. I think it was for making wine, but that's my only memory of a garden. So I got this bug from working at a farm-to-table restaurant and tasting the difference. Oh my gosh. You've ever had a farmer's market tomato next to a store tomato? I mean, there's no comparison. Once you realize that, it just like, you're like, what have I been doing? Flavor. So flavor equals nutrients. So there's a direct correlation there. And so, did it go to sleep? Aww. So this is the service garden. It's quite small this year. This year we're quadrupling it. So the hope is we can get close to 5,000 pounds just from this one quarter acre. See how it goes. It's a cicada year. Nature farming has lots of risk. I'm, as the manager, doing my best to mitigate all those risks. We had a grant, so I was able to get a new irrigation system ready. Wash stations ready, just thinking about all the different ages and ability levels of volunteers. We have unique tools that help people come out and help that might feel like farming's too hard, I can't help. So even just coming out and just having a chat and hanging out and enjoying the garden, it's a beautiful place to take a walk, come visit and see what we're doing. Does anybody have any questions? I kind of just gave you a lot.
Are the schools involved at all? They bring any groups of kids to participate?
Last year I had two. I have the Boy Scout, the Cub Scouts coming in a couple weeks. It's just, you know, school's in session. And so I'm trying to like get those notes over, but it's also like, there's not much to see right now. But as we go, I'm hoping to. Farm to school was a big part of what we've heard from people, was what people wanted. And, you know, there's a big push to get more farm to table in the school. Things are in the works. I'm not going to talk about it because it's just nothing's in stone yet, but it's happening.
Maybe I already said this, but what is the relationship between the other small growers?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. Yeah. So, you know, one of our roles, we felt like once the Andrews farm was protected, we're like, oh, okay, it's not going to be a bunch of houses. We do our best to support the local farm. So like Carrie at Peachtree donated a ton of garlic for us to plant this year. And we have gone and said, you know, if you ever need a big crew of people, let us know. We'll put a call out to our volunteers. Like this fall at Pariah Dog, we actually had a huge group of our gleaners and our service gardeners come out, and we harvested over 1,000 pounds of squash. So we helped him with his harvest, and we helped him sort his squash. So it like got all done in one day. It was great. It was beautiful. I think I had that on the gleaning photo, actually, was see the truck full of butternut squash. actually, both those outside pictures are from that day. And Jack at Freshfield Farm, we've gone and we did potato rows with the gleaners, you know. So it's really, we've been building those relationships for years. And because Patricia started the farmer's market with a group of people, and I've been managing the farmer's market for 6 years, like, we're very entrenched in the local farm scene. And so we hope to be the go-to group for them as a supportive organization. Oh, thank you. Last one, guys, comes Sunday, noon to 3 at St. Barnabas. Our last winter markets this week, come stock up. And then May 30th, Thursday, is at the harbor. Noon to 5. Thursdays, yeah. Carpool, or come after 2.
I don't
see. Oh, good question. I got an electric fence this year. I'm really excited about it. But it's not going to stop the deer. Like I said, farming's risky behavior. There is a small fence that we had up. You can't see it. It's wire. The picture's so good, it just disappears. I don't know how I got so lucky this year with the greens. I mean, I had 6 rows of kale. We just went out and harvested them. They lasted all winter. We're already harvesting for the service center coming this week because kale's still going, the collards. And so it's a good question. You know, it's one of those things.
I think they haven't discovered us yet.
Yeah. Well, the community garden's right there, too. And we put fences on the community gardens because it's a thing. You know, you have to think about them, but you also can't just not grow at the risk, right? It's like, just gotta just try. Yes. Good question. We have a greenhouse this year. So we were able to purchase a greenhouse from somebody that was taking one down that I had actually put up for my own private farm 2 years before, and he was selling the land and offered it to us for a good price. So we have put that up at a property that is owned by a conservation buyer. There's a parcel that we're trying to purchase, and so we have a lease with that landowner to have the greenhouse on it. So we have... It's filling up fast, is all I can say. That's been my like last 2 weeks has just been playing with plants. And if anybody wants to come help in the greenhouse, that's kind of an invite-only situation because it's still a privately owned property, but reach out by email. And I let volunteers come and help in the greenhouse on Monday mornings. And yeah. Milk? Honestly. Something sour about it.
Yes, they don't like protein. Eggs.
Yeah.
They don't like eggs.
So if anybody has milk going bad, you call me. One more question?
I love the goals and objectives. That's teaching people I am so aware of how food waste especially alongside of insecurity. So I guess my question is, I grew up with a mom with a family in Illinois, and she would say,
So the Solid Waste Advisory Committee and the state, and there's like a lot of things coming down the pipe where you're being like those restaurants, if they produce a certain amount, are now being required to compost. It's in phases, so the big ones had to start first, like the Stop and Shops, and we didn't have a lot in our town, but now the second tier of waste producers are now going to be forced to compost. And Patricia's very involved.
Can I just chip
in
here? there is an effort also that's ongoing already. It started in the schools to teach kids about food waste. If they do leave food on their plate, all organic material is now being collected for composting. I think it works both ways. It helps kids learn to portion control a little bit better, not just put a whole bunch of food on their plate and then get rid of it. But so it makes them think about it a little bit harder. But it's also teaching not only the kids, but their parents about food waste. So that's a fantastic initiative that's going on in our schools.
I was at town meeting last night, and the waste advisory talked a lot about food waste, and like 40% of the tonnage of our waste that goes to collected is food waste. Mm-hmm. And they are apparent within the next decade we're going to be separating out food waste, and at least it's better to consume it, but at least it's going to be composted and something useful.
And where it produces methane, which is a greenhouse gas.
Yeah, and there's a group effort with some of the Lower Cape towns, or are we upper or lower? The local towns to do a municipal composting effort together on the base, and those conversations are actively happening. So there's exciting changes on the horizon. I would prefer people not waste it at all. My son has to eat everything on his plate, so I'm just hoping, you know, it's hard, you know, there's some fights, but it's like you have to instill that early, and so it's hard if you didn't grow up that way. I mean, it's been a weird couple decades. I'll just point out that these are the posters. So the green one is when I am at the field and you can come volunteer or just come go for a walk. It's beautiful. There's 300 committee trails and the pond is there. Community garden's beautiful. And then the other one is a gardening series I'm teaching with the Master Gardeners. We have one a month. We just had our second one last week, and they're on Saturdays. They're at the Service Garden, and they're very specific to what's happening in the garden now. So we're basically trying to teach you right before you need to do it. So we'll be, our next one is going to be about planting solanaceous, so talking about tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and things that are going in the ground at that point, so you go home and you're prepared to plant, and you feel ready, and you can ask me all the questions you can come up with. And it's been a very good crowd so far, which makes me really happy that people are receptive to what we're doing. I think I'm pretty much done. There's a few community, there is, I'm done. There's community events, and that's, you know, please sign up for our emails so you get these. And if you're on social media, follow us. We kind of pump these out so you know what's going on with us. We're very busy, and we want you to come be a part of it.
Quick question related to that. You said that you often make YouTube
available. Yeah.
Of this series, are those available?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the first one's up. Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you all a link so that you can find it.
Yeah, yeah. Farming Falmouth at YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, did you just fell? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.